Lord, give me patience. And I want it now. You know, somebody has defined patience as the ability to idle your motor when you feel like stripping your gears. And this morning, we're going to talk about patience. And so I want you to take your Bibles and open them up to James chapter 5. And you remember as you turn there that James is the Proverbs of the New Testament. Very, very, very practical book. Very practical book. And in this little epistle, James is teaching us, teaching Christians, how to live out their faith in a non-Christian, hostile environment. And so this is a very practical little book. And this morning, we're going to be looking at verses 7 through 12. And you'll notice as we're going to read them now, I'm going to read them, you follow along, that this concept of patience is prominent in these verses. Listen as I read verses 7 through 12. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and the late rains. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance or patience of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. Above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but your yes is to be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment. In those verses, I think four or five times you have the word patience, patience. So we're going to take a look at this. What does he say about this? First of all, let's look at the command of patience, the command of patience in verse 7 and 8. Twice he says here, be patient. Verse 7, therefore be patient. Verse 8, you too be patient. Now, who's he talking to here? He's talking to Christians. Four times in these verses, he uses the word brethren, brethren. Verse 7, therefore be patient, brethren. Verse 9, do not complain, brethren. Verse 10, as examples, as an example, brethren. Verse 12, above all, my brethren. He leaves no doubt who he's talking to. He's talking to Christians. Do Christians need patience? Oh, yes, we do. We do. And these Christians needed patience. Now, why did they need patience? They specifically needed it because these were the ones that were being unfairly treated, taken advantage of, cheated by the rich. Remember last week we took a look at the rich in verses 1 through 6? The unbelievers, the non-believing rich. And you remember what they were doing? They were cheating their workers, cheating the laborers out of their salaries. They had these people work for them, and then they wouldn't pay them. They were withholding their paychecks, cheating their employees. And some of those were these Christians. These Christians were being used, abused, taken advantage of, walked on, mistreated, and cheated. And James tells them, you know what? You need to be patient. You need to be patient. Have you ever been used, abused, cheated? been unfairly treated? I think we all have. I think we all have. And you know what? We as Christians need to be patient. Well, what is patience? What is patience? What's he talking about when he says, be patient? Well, there are two words in James that are used, translated patience. The first one, as we already saw back in chapter 1 and verse 2. You remember what he said there? He said, count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now, my translation says endurance. I think the King James Version says patience. And that word patience, it means being patient with things and circumstances. Things and circumstances. Difficult times. Financial difficulties. When we're encountering financial difficulties or school difficulties, we need to have patience. When you get sick or in an accident, you need to have patience. You need to have patience in the trials of life. And the trials of life actually produce patience. Produce patience when we respond correctly. This word patience means to bear up under the pressures of life. And we all need to do that. That's patience. But the word James uses here is not that word. It's a different word. It's when he says be patient, this is a word that deals with being patient with people. And especially with difficult people. You know some of them? You know some difficult people? This word means, it means to be patient. It means to be long-suffering with people. Not having a short fuse or a short temper. Not flaring up with anger when it comes to jerks, difficult people. It means not easily provoked, holding our passion down and not letting them burst out in hatred and resentment. Not being temperamental. You know what they say about temperamental people? They're 90% temper and 10% mental. We're not to be like that. We're not to be short-fused. When it comes to difficult people, we're to be long-suffering. Now, as you think about that, when someone takes advantage of me, you know what my flesh wants to do? The same thing your flesh wants to do. We want to get back, right? Come on. We want to fight fire with fire. I get one barrel. I want to shoot back with two barrels. That's my flesh. I want to respond. The Bible says, be patient. Don't do that. Don't do that. Be long-suffering. Don't fight fire with fire. That's what he's talking about here. You know, folks, this is a characteristic of God. God is patient. Aren't you glad? God is long-suffering with us. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 says, or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience? That's this word. Not knowing that it is the kindness or goodness of God that leads to repentance. God is patient. He's long-suffering. He's slow to anger. Oh, thank you, Lord. Abundant in loving kindness and truth. He's patient, long-suffering with sinners. 2 Peter 3:9 says, God is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient with you, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. God's patient. You know, God is patient with difficult people. Jerks. He's patient with people that use his name in vain and slight him and reject him. He's patient. He doesn't just react and wipe us out. He's patient. And he says, you know what? I want you to be like me. I want you to be like your heavenly Father is. Long-suffering, patient with those who slight us. That doesn't come natural. Not to me, it doesn't. But thank God, you know what this is? This is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. You remember over in Galatians 5:22? It says that the fruit of the Spirit is, say it with me, love, joy, peace, patience. That's this word. See, whereas it doesn't come natural, how can I do this, Lord? You know me. I'll tell you how we can do it. We have to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Every morning, like my wife and I many times do, we've got to reset our default. My default is to be selfish and self-centered, and I've got to change that to being Spirit-filled. Holy Spirit, take control of my life, and I want to walk in you today. Grant me to do that. Help me, fill me, Holy Spirit, and may your fruit come out of my life. The Bible says, here's the command of patience. Be patient. I'll tell you, when people around us act kind of jerky, we need to respond differently. We need patience. You may need patience where you work. You may need patience where you live, with the people in your own home. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is patience. The command, be patient. Now he gives us examples of that. The examples of patience. He gives us three examples of this. The first one is found in verse 7. He says, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets its early and late rains. It's very interesting. Now, I forgot this. I think I knew this before. Maybe I didn't. But one of the early Greek fathers, Clement, in his writings, stated that James and his brother Jude, by occupation, were farmers. And that some of the illustrations that he uses, the farming illustrations, comes right out of his life. Right? He knew what about farming. He knew that a farmer had to work hard, how long he had to wait for the yielding of the ground, how fully dependent the farmer was on God for the harvest. Farmer plants the seed and then he leaves it for a long time. The father can, all that he can do is he just sees no visible indication of anything happening. But something's going on all the time, and then that crop comes up. But what he has to do, he has to be patient. He has to wait. He waits and he looks forward. The farmer needs to be patient. I remember my first garden as a little boy. I don't know how old I was, but I was a small boy, and I told my parents, I want a garden. So I planted a garden. It was about maybe 2 foot by 2 foot square as my garden. And I planted beans in my garden. And I'll never forget, I put those seeds in and I put the soil back, and I was so excited, and I couldn't wait for the next morning. And I remember getting up and running down to my garden, and I thought, what's going on? I don't see any beans. I'll never forget that. And I did that for about 3 or 4 days, and there was nothing. And so I decided, I'm going to dig this up and see if what's happening here. And I dug up the seeds. You're not supposed to do that. And I remember telling my dad, I said, Dad, there was nothing happening in my garden. And I dug it up, and he said, oh, no, Les, don't do that. Don't do that. You've got to be patient. You got to wait. And, you know, little boys, it's hard. Well, big boys and girls, sometimes it's hard for us to be patient. But you got to put the seeds in. They got to wait. They got the sun has to come and the rain has to come. And you know what? After a while, I saw little things coming up. I thought, oh. And I did get some beans that year. Not a whole lot, but I got some. But you know, farmers have to be patient. They've got to wait, and they've got to be dependent on God. And they look forward. He says, it's like a farmer. We've got to have patience. Then he gives the example of the prophets. See verse 10 and 11. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You know, a prophet is somebody who foretells the future, but he foretells God's word. A lot of what the prophet said was not predictive. It was just pronouncing God's word. He was a foreteller and a forth-teller. But you know the problem was? When he would tell God's word, a lot of times the message, people didn't want to hear it. Because if you look in the prophets in the Old Testament, they were calling people out on sin. They were calling for repentance. They were calling for return to the Lord. Or else. God, they pronounced God's judgment. And people, can you imagine that? People didn't want to hear it. They did not want to hear it. But they preached. They preached. They foretold God's word. And two things, James says, characterized their life. Do you see it there? What were the two things? Suffering and patience. Suffering and long-suffering. That characterized the prophets. Sometimes they preached and they didn't see results. They didn't see results. Or what they would like to have seen. People ignored them. People didn't want to hear. But they proclaimed. They were faithful to proclaim. And then be patient. Be patient. Plant that seed of the word and be patient. Their reaction to sin was, they hated sin. But they prayed for the sinner. They were patient. And when persecuted, they were patient and long-suffering. And you know what? We call them blessed. Suffering and patience. The farmer, the prophets, and then the patriarch, Job. Down in verse 11, James is the only New Testament writer that mentions Job by name. He's the only one. Job was a real person in history. He was real. And probably no one has ever suffered as greatly as Job except the Lord Jesus. I mean, this guy suffered greatly, lost all his possessions, many of his family, his health. But you know what? He had to have patience. Not only to bear up under those trials, but he had to have patience with people. You know who? Well, wait, before his friends. His wife. You have to have patience with your spouse. I was going to say wife, but spouse. Oh, Job, just curse God and die. Oh, you're speaking like one of those foolish women. Should we? should we accept good from God and not adversity? Boy, you know, he's down and his wife. Oh yeah, we have to have patience in our homes and with our spouses and with our children and with our parents. And then who else did he have to have patience with? His friends. The comforters. With friends like his, who needs enemies? But you know what? Job was patient. He didn't really attack them. I mean, he debated with them. But he did not, I mean, here he is. He's done, and what are they doing? They're kicking him when he's done. They're kicking him when he's done. But he didn't respond and attack them. In fact, in the end, what did he do? He prayed for them. He prayed for them. See, that's what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to respond with hatred or respond with anger. He wants us to pray. He wants us to show the love of Christ. Amen. That's Job. That's the patriarch. The examples, he gives examples. Well, then he talks about, I think, the lack of patience. What happens when we have a lack of patience? When we have a lack of patience or fail to be long-suffering, we respond with anger and hatred. We fight fire with fire. And you know what? Listen, if we continue doing that, we become bitter. You become a bitter person. One thing about hatred and bitterness, listen to this. You can't just hate or be bitter at one person. When you have hatred and bitterness in your heart, listen, it will come out in every relationship that you have. You're bitter at your boss, you'll come home and yell at your wife. Abuse your children. Kick the dog. Poor dog. You just can't be bitter or angry at a person and let that inside. Because you know what it does? It poisons us. It poisons us. That's why it says in Hebrews 12:25, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. Many be defiled. When we have a lack of patience, then we can get bitter. Now, the ones that were causing the problems here, you remember who was causing the problems? Tell me. The rich. The rich were causing, they were mistreating the Christians, the unsaved rich. But look at who these Christians started to attack. Look at verse 9. Look at who they attacked. Each other. Each other. Do not complain, King James, grudge, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. They were complaining or grudging against one another. They started attacking one another. That's what happens when we lack this patience or long-suffering. You know, people come against maybe us. Many times we turn on our brothers and sisters in the church. Or listen, we turn on people in our family. It happens, folks. You know, your spouse is not your enemy. We turn on the very ones that we love the most. And God doesn't want that to happen. He says, be patient. Be long-suffering. Pray. Another thing I think can happen, it can lead to complaining against one another and attacking one another. I think it can lead to a lack of integrity. Look down at verse 12. When I read verse 12, I thought, why is verse 12 there? Do you see verse 12? See what it says? But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but your yes is to be yes and your no, no, and that you may not fall under judgment. I thought, why did he put that there? What's that have to do with anything? And I thought, well, that verse has to do, I think, with being honest, being people of integrity. When we say we're going to do something, we're going to do it, and being honest and in having integrity. And then I thought, maybe, and I don't know this for sure, I don't know, but maybe he put it there because when we don't have patience, when somebody takes advantage of us, we just might get the idea that because they cheated us, we can cheat them. They hurt us. We have a right to hurt them. And maybe James is saying here, just no. Two wrongs never made a right. Whatever the circumstance, be patient and be honest and people of integrity. Now it's interesting. This very verse here, you remember Jesus taught that in the Sermon on the Mount? You remember that? He said, let your yes be yes, your no be no, and you know, don't swear, and this kind of thing. Do you know what comes right after that in the Sermon on the Mount? Love your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Do good to those who come against you. Kind of the concept of don't be overcome with evil, overcome evil with good. When somebody comes against you, give them a blessing. Pray for them. We don't have the right to fight fire with fire or be dishonest. Lack of patience can lead to complaining, attacking others. I think it can possibly lead to a lack of integrity. But look at verses 7 and 8, at the hope of patience. In this whole thing, when they're being taken advantage of and when people are coming against them, there's hope. The hope of patience is the second coming of Christ. See in verse 7, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord. That word there for coming, parousia, is used 24 times in the New Testament. It literally means, listen to this, presence. Presence. Jesus Christ is going to personally, physically, come and be present here on earth. Amen. Present with his people. This is called what? The blessed hope. Jesus is coming back. The blessed hope. This has been the blessed hope of the persecuted, oppressed Christians throughout the century. Christ is spirit. Right now, Christ is spiritually present with us. Amen? Amen? He's here. He's here. He's spiritually present with us. My, oh, my. That gives me hope. Because you know what? In this world, we're not alone. God is our refuge and our strength. A very present help when you go to the hospital and have to have 3 bypasses. That's in there. That's the footnotes, but that's in there. He's a very present help. Thank you for that amen, Kathy. Or when you go to the hospital and have to have an operation, he's there with us. He's spiritually present with us. But praise God, he's coming back. And he's going to be physically, literally present with us. That's our hope. That's the parousia. And that was a technical term too, which meant the coming of a king. And when Jesus comes back, he's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. And he's coming. He's coming. The great preacher, G. Campbell Morgan, once said, listen to this quote, "To me, the second coming is the perpetual light on the path which makes the present bearable. I never lay my head on my pillow without thinking that maybe before the morning breaks, the final morning may have dawned. I never begin my work without thinking that perhaps he may interrupt my work and begin his work." Amen. The hope of patience is the second coming. And look at what verse 8 says. His second coming is imminent. You too, be patient, strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. His coming is near. It's so easy to get discouraged and get down. But folks, strengthen your heart today. Brothers and sisters, the coming of the Lord is near. It's near because, you say, well, that was said 2,000 years ago, Pastor. Well, it's nearer today. It's nearer today. But what he's saying there is, and for every generation it's been like this, his coming is imminent. He could come at any time. He'd come right now. Come, Lord Jesus. It's imminent. Imminent. Scottish preacher McShane once had a group of men in a circle. And he said to the one man, he said, "Do you believe that Jesus, really believe that Jesus Christ is coming tonight? Do you?" "No, probably not tonight, Pastor." Went to the second man. "Do you believe that Jesus Christ is going to come tonight? I mean, really believe he's coming tonight?" "No, Pastor, I don't think he's coming tonight." Went around the whole group. And everyone said the same, "Nah, probably not tonight." And then he said, quoted the verse, "At the time you think not, the Son of Man's going to appear." Amen. You think he's coming today? Come, Lord Jesus. That's our blessed hope. Yes, we have to be patient. Yes, things are going to happen. Yes, there's going to be inequalities. Yes, people are going to take advantage of us. But we're here serving the Lord. Amen. And one day he's going to appear. That's our blessed hope, the hope of patience. And then we have, lastly, the power of patience. Do you know, folks, when we respond differently, when people treat us harshly, when we're in unfair situations, when people come after us, when people hurt us, and we respond differently, we're not overcome with evil, but we overcome evil with good. When our enemy is hungry, we feed him. When our enemy is thirsty, we give him a drink. When that neighbor that's taken advantage of us or was just totally off base and attacked us, and we take over a pie and don't throw it at him. We give it to him and say, "You know, I'm sorry if I offended you." Do you know what? That's powerful. There's power in that. People say, why are they doing this? You see, the farmer works and waits, and with the Lord's blessing, it produces a fruit of harvest. The prophets preached and waited, and with God's blessing, it produced, at least in some, a harvest of repentance and return and obedience. The patriarch Job suffered and waited, and he suffered long and with God's blessing. It resulted in a close encounter with God and a change in character. There's power in patience. And when we patiently work and wait, when we patiently preach and wait and suffer and wait and pray and wait, the power of patience is released.
Amen.
And you know what? It may not change our circumstances, but it'll change us. And many times, folks, it changes people around us. I want to give you a couple examples of this. The story is told of a wicked, God-hating army sergeant who was saved, and his testimony was this. Quote, "There is a private in our company who was converted. We gave that fellow an awful time. One night he came in from sentry duty, very tired and wet, and before going to bed, he got down to pray. I struck him on the side of the head with my boots. And he just went on with his prayers. The next morning, I found my boots beautifully polished by the side of my bed. That was his reply to me. That day, that very day, I was saved." That's the power of patience. I wasn't going to put this in there, but I'm going to put this one in there. I have one more after this. But I want to tell one in our personal life. It happened when Linda and I lived up in Libertyville, Illinois. And Linda, we lived in an apartment building. And we inherited, or we were given a dog. It was being abused, and we went and told the people that they were abusing their dog. And they said, okay, here, you can have it. So we got a little shortcake. She's a little dog. And Linda took her out. We had a little empty lot beside the apartment building. She took her out one day and had her out there. And one of the neighbors, an older lady, came out with her dog. And our dog kind of ran over to her dog. I mean, our dog was this big. I mean, it wasn't going to kill her dog or anything. This lady just started screaming at Linda. And you're supposed to have your dog on a leash, and we didn't. Or Linda didn't, and she started screaming at Linda, swearing, cursing her out. You get your blankety blank dog and get you know, and you're a blankety blank person, blah blah. And I mean, Linda grabbed our dog and went in the house, went into the apartment. And this lady, Linda should have had the dog on a leash, but it didn't do any damage or anything like that. And this lady was kind of totally over the top and out of line with what she said. So Linda just prayed, and she thought, I'm gonna bake some cookies, and I'm gonna go up and take those cookies up to this lady, and I'm gonna apologize. So she did. She baked the cookies, she went upstairs, she lived on the upper floor, and it's the lady that had the dog outside, we had our dog outside, and what do you want? Well, I wanted to come up and apologize to you, and I baked you some cookies. The door opened. She looked out. She unlatched the door and opened up. And Linda said, I'm really sorry. I should have had the dog on a leash. I want to ask you to forgive me, and I would like to give you these cookies. This lady, just whole countenance changed. No one's ever done anything like this for me. And she just totally changed. We were able to have her down to our apartment, able to share the gospel with her. She got kicked out of the apartments because she had offended a lot of other people in the apartments. But we were able to have a relationship with her and share the gospel. And it's because my wife was patient. She didn't act like I would have probably acted. But she was patient. That's the power of patience. Amen. That's the power of patience. One last illustration of this. And it's with somebody we all know the name. Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, there was no one that treated Lincoln with more contempt than a man by the name of Edward Stanton. He denounced Lincoln's policies and he called him a low, cunning clown. Stanton had nicknamed him the original gorilla and said that the explorer Paul de Chaillu was a fool to wander about Africa trying to capture a gorilla when he could have found one so easily in Springfield, Illinois. Lincoln said nothing in reply. He didn't even tweet him. He didn't. He said nothing in reply. In fact, when Lincoln became president, he made Stanton his war minister because Stanton was the best man for the job. He treated him with every courtesy. The years wore on. And then came that night in Ford Auditorium when the assassin's bullet was shot into the president's head. And they took him from Ford Theater across the street. And Stanton was there beside his bed. And as he looked down on that silent, rugged face of the president, through tears, he said, "There lies the greatest ruler of men the world has ever seen." You see, folks, that is the power of loving patience. The power of patience conquered in the end. Amen. God says, "Be patient, brethren. The Lord is near." Lord, we just bow before you, and Lord, I need this message. Lord, I think we need this message. Help us, God. Lord, this doesn't come natural to me or to us. But Lord, we want to just reset our default even this morning and in the days to come. And we want to be spirit-filled. And we want to respond and to be the kind of people you want us to be. We're thankful this morning. We can say amen. We're thankful that you are patient with us. Long-suffering, Lord. Thank you so much. Help us to reflect that characteristic of you, Heavenly Father, in our lives. And Lord, use this for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.